today I'd like for us to talk about the life and legacy of Lottie Moon. Lottie, her full name was Charlotte Lottie Diggs Moon. And I hope you'll pray. To me, between this and the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, these are the two most important missions offerings that we receive during the year. And so I pray that you'll sacrificially give towards this as the Lord leads you. But it helps to understand who Lottie Moon was. We throw that name around. We talk about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We see it on posters. We see it on our offering envelopes and all these different places. But who was Lottie Moon? So for the next little bit, I'm going to take you through her life and explain to you who she was. Charlotte Lottie Diggs Moon was born to parents Anna Maria Barclay and Edward Harris Moon in Virginia on December 12, 1840, in Albemarle County. Lottie Moon grew up in a Christian home, but she rebelled against Christianity as an adolescent. In 1856, at the age of 16, though, she committed her life to Christ and was baptized at the First Baptist Church of Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, during this time in history, most girls really didn't receive, if they did receive an education, it was very little to none. But that was not the case for the Moon sisters. Their parents wanted their daughters to have the same educational opportunities that their brothers received. So the Moon sisters attended the best schools available. Lottie proved to be a brilliant student, particularly in learning other languages. Lottie would go on to attend Albemarle Female Institute, which this was the female counterpart of the University of Virginia. In 1861, she was one of the first women in the South to receive a master's degree. She stayed close to home during the Civil War, but eventually taught school in Kentucky, Georgia, and Virginia. Lottie had two sisters who served in foreign missions. Edmonia, or she went by Eddie. They all had a little short name they went by. But Edmonia Eddie Harris Moon, she was one of Lottie's younger sisters. She helped form the Baptist Ladies Missionary Association in Richmond in 1872. And her work there motivated her to apply to the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Within weeks, Edmonia was appointed to the mission field of Ting Chau, China, at the age of 21. Lottie eventually would join her sister there and serve alongside her. However, after 4 years of service in China, Edmonia's physical and mental health declined, and it forced her to return home. She continued to struggle with depression and eventually joined the Catholic Church, but she never found the peace that she was looking for. In 1908, Edmonia tragically took her own life. Orianne, one of Lottie's older sisters, went on to become the first female physician in Virginia. She received her medical degree from an all-girls school in Philadelphia in 1857 and returned to Virginia shortly thereafter. Along with her pastor physician uncle, James Turner Barclay, Orianne served briefly as a medical missionary with the American Christian Missionary Society. That was part of the Church of Christ. They served in Jerusalem until 1859. She then returned to the United States and served as a surgeon in Confederate hospitals during the Civil War. Her work in medicine and zeal for evangelism continued until her death on December 26, 1883. Although the Foreign Mission Board had appointed single ladies to the mission field before this time, and really since the 1840s, the Moon sisters were still considered pioneers for women serving on the mission field. Lottie's younger sister, Edmonia Moon, was assigned, as I mentioned earlier, to Ting Chau, China in 1872. On July 7th, 1873, Lottie received God's call to be a foreign missionary and was appointed by the Foreign Mission Board to join her sister in Ting Chau. Lottie was 32 years old when she left to serve in China. She would turn down two marriage proposals and leave a job, home, and family to follow the Lord's will for her life. Her path wasn't typical for an educated woman from a wealthy southern family. She was deeply burdened for the Chinese people and their need for a savior. Lottie served 39 years as a missionary, mostly in China's Shantung province. She led a girls' school in Ting Chau, and later she transferred to the remote city of Pingtu, where she was the only missionary for some time. She also made trips into China's interior to share the good news with women and girls. Lottie was passionate about people knowing Christ. Her height was something that bothered her all of her life. In fact, she refused to stand for photographs. And she tried to, in fact, avoid them altogether. Although Lottie was just over 4 feet tall, she never hesitated to speak what was on her mind and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Initially, the Chinese people rejected her, but she refused to give up. Lottie loved the Chinese people, and she firmly believed God had called her to this work. People were drawn to Lottie's house by the smell of her fresh-baked cookies. Can I get an amen? She adopted traditional Chinese dress, language, and customs, and she lived like the Chinese people. But Lottie didn't just serve the people of China. She became one of them. The Chinese people eventually grew to respect Lottie, and her faithful ministry led many to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. The mission was difficult, but Lottie was committed to fulfilling God's call on her life. Lottie once wrote to the Foreign Mission Board, "I hope no missionary will ever be as lonely as I have been." Lottie served 14 years before receiving a regular furlough. When Lottie did return to the United States, her appearances were often dramatic. She dressed in authentic Chinese attire. She delivered moving speeches, and she stirred up missions interest among many Southern Baptists. While ministering in Pingtu, Lottie distributed gospel tracts, and she proclaimed the good news about Jesus. As crowds gathered to hear her, she would sometimes stand and raise her voice so gathering crowds could hear. Now, as a result, some of the men accused her of preaching. But this charge upset Lottie a great deal. Lottie's response was, if they didn't like what she was doing, let them send a man to do a better job. Sounded a lot like my grandma. At missions meetings, the ladies usually kept silent while the men discussed and decided missions policies and strategies. But this didn't sit well with Lottie. Lottie not only insisted on attending these meetings, but she spoke up to share her own ideas. Lottie stated that simple justice demands that women should have equal rights with men in missions meetings and in the conduct of their work. Lottie refused to take a furlough and leave the Pingtu ministry unless a replacement was sent to fill in her absence. A shortage of funds prevented a replacement from being sent. And in 1887, Lottie wrote to the Baptist women of Virginia with the idea of a special one-time Christmas offering. The original purpose was to provide funds for Lottie so she could take her furlough. But after learning that Methodist women planned to observe a week of prayer before Christmas and receive a missions offering, Lottie suggested that there be a similar plan for the Baptist women. She wrote, and I quote, "Need it be said why the week before Christmas was chosen? Is not the festive season when families and friends exchange gifts in memory of the gift laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the human race, the most appropriate time to consecrate a portion from abounding riches and scant poverty to send forth the good tidings of great joy into all the earth?" The Women's Missionary Union, established in 1888, accepted Lottie's challenge and announced a week of prayer and special Christmas offering during that same year in 1888. Their goal was to receive $2,000. Think about that. That was their goal, if we can just receive $2,000. When all the receipts were counted, they had received a total of $3,315.26. The week of prayer and Christmas offering would go on to become an annual event, an emphasis for the Women's Missionary Union. Lottie, she was selfless in her service for Jesus Christ. In her later years, her health began to decline. The Boxer Rebellion also caused additional hardships. During this time, Lottie fell victim to depression, a mental disorder that appeared to run in her family. Given the economic hardships, Lottie feared there was not enough food for the Chinese girls in her school. Times were difficult, but actual starvation was probably not imminent. Many believe the crisis was greater in Lottie's mind than it was in reality. However, it shows that she loved her schoolgirls so much that she refused to eat, and she gave away her food to help them. Lottie ate so little that she eventually suffered from malnutrition and became very sick. In December 1912, the Foreign Mission Board sent a nurse by the name of Cynthia Miller to escort Lottie back to the United States so she could receive needed medical attention. Boarding a ship, they made it as far as Kobe, Japan. In her last moments, it is recorded that she clasped her hands in traditional Chinese greetings, calling out the names of Chinese friends who had been dead for years. In Kobe Harbor, Lottie slipped into a coma and died on December 24, 1912, at the age of 72. As required by law, her body was cremated, and her ashes were delivered to the Foreign Mission Board in a small brown package. After a brief memorial service in Richmond, Lottie was buried at her home church near Crewe, Virginia. Her monument remains to this day with the simple inscription, "Faithful unto death." Lottie frequently, during her ministry, would send letters back detailing Chinese culture, missionary life, and the physical and spiritual needs of the Chinese people. In her letters, she discussed China's hunger for truth and the struggle for so many missionaries taking the gospel to the 472 million Chinese in her day. She also challenged Southern Baptists to pray, to come to China, or to give financially to support others who could come. As mentioned earlier, the Women's Missionary Union organized in 1888 and collected $3,315 to send workers needed in China. Lottie once wrote to the Foreign Mission Board, "Please say to the missionaries, they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial. Disease, despair, and shortage of help was an ongoing threat to Lottie's ministry, but she gave herself completely to God. Her perseverance helped lay the foundation for the modern Chinese church, one of the fastest-growing Christian movements in the world. Lottie Moon died at the age of 72, sick and declining in health after decades ministering to the Chinese people she loved so dearly. But her legacy lives on. And today, when offerings are not keeping pace with the number of workers God is calling to the mission field, her call for sacrificial giving rings with more urgency than ever. As a memorial to Lottie Moon's first Christmas in heaven, the offering of 1913 was the largest to date. Lottie's challenge was accepted in the establishment of an annual offering, and in 1918, at the recommendation of guess who? Annie Armstrong. The Women's Missionary Union named the annual Christmas offering the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering for Foreign Missions, honoring the lady who led them to start it. Lottie's life reminds us of the importance of giving to support missionaries who minister to the lost and unreached people of the world. As we bring this to a close, got a video I'd like to share with you. This is the theme video for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And the theme for this year is together. So keep that in mind as you watch this video.
We all lead busy lives, but if we could just stop everything and take a bird's eye view, a little higher, there. Now we can see the multitudes. We are fueled by a shared vision to bring the name of Christ to those who have yet to hear. So we move forward to extreme places, corners of the world that have no access to the gospel. We train missionaries, send them out together, and pray that God's grace be known. We help the hurting, comfort the dying, give hope to the displaced, and have seen thousands come to faith in Christ. We are able to do so much more together than if we were chasing this vision alone. This is our common effort. Together.
The verse for this year is Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." The Bible's very clear that at this time, when we stand before the throne of Christ, there will be people from all nations and all tongues, all tribes, who are part of the church, who have been redeemed, and stand before Him. Giving to the 2019 Lottie Moon Christmas offering, it does make a difference among the multitudes. Men, women, children, and entire communities are transformed as a result of this offering. Your gifts will enable thousands of missionaries to live among, serve, and share the gospel with people who have never heard it until now. Every December since 1888, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering has empowered Southern Baptist International Missions work. Forbush Baptist Church participation in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is a key part of that. Our gifts transform lives. And as we give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we help enable International Mission Board missionaries to take the gospel to unreached people around the world. Every dollar, as I said earlier, makes a difference. Every single dollar, because 100% of this offering goes to the work of reaching every nation. It goes to those missionaries to support them in the work that they're doing. So I hope that this year that you'll pray and you'll give as the Lord leads. Pray about it. You know, so many times when we give our offerings, we don't think about it. Some people just walk in church and see how much they got in their wallet, and that's what they throw in there. There's no forethought to it. But throughout the Old Testament, we see that when an offering is given, there was forethought to it. It was predetermined. They gave of their first fruits. They gave the best that they had to God, first and foremost. And so as you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year, don't give Him your leftovers. Just pray. Say, "God, what is it you want me to give?" And as He gives you a desire in your heart, will you give as He leads you? Our goal this year is 2,500. I think we can blow that goal out of the water. But please pray and give during the month of December if you would. Lottie Moon left a powerful legacy, and her legacy lives on through this offering and through the many missionaries that serve around the world. As we sing this hymn of invitation, boy, what a perfect invitation. I'll go ahead and tell them the number, 572. "I love to tell the story." As I say many times, don't let these words just be words on a page. Let it pass through your mind before it comes out your mouth. Do we really love to tell the story? It's shown through our giving to this offering, and it's shown through our everyday lives as we interact with the people that we come in contact with. Do you love to tell the story? If you need to come to the altar as we sing this song, maybe you say, I'm not being the witness that I need to be. I want that love. I want that passion that Lottie Moon had. I want to love people with the gospel the way that she did, sacrificially. She poured everything she had, much like our Savior did. Do we have that passion? Do we want to see people come to know Jesus, and do we love to tell the story? Father, I pray that during this time of invitation that you would move according to your will in our hearts. Help us to understand the great need around the world. There are so many people around the world who have still, I know it's hard for us here in America to imagine, but Father, there are so many people around the world who still have never heard about Jesus. There are entire communities, villages, people that the gospel has not reached them. Whether it's a language barrier or a land barrier or whatever it might be, it's just not there. And Father, I pray that through this offering, you would raise up missionaries to reach these people, to go to these remote areas, to learn those languages, to live among those people, and to help them know your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you would move amongst us as well, amongst our church. Move in our hearts as we see the sacrifice of Lottie Moon, as we see the sacrifice of your Son. May we have a passion for the lost around us here in Yadkin County and for South County and wherever it is we may live. Move in our hearts. Help us to see the urgency of eternity and the need for Jesus Christ. Help us to love those around us and to share the truth with people that desperately need to hear it. May others see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.